Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, good afternoon. Time now for some Tebow talk.
Tebow on the twos, 4 minutes late.
Time now for some Tebow talk.
There's almost 2,000 jerseys available for you to buy right now on eBay. That's how many people have gone up to get rid of their Tebow jerseys as a Bronco. There's something you're not going to hear just anywhere.
All right. Now let's get to something interesting here about all this. All right. We're going to be, it's open line time the rest of the way through. As you know, that we have loaded up heavy on guests here the first 3 days of the week. And between Bucknell, Coach Dave Paulson, and Mark Brennan of Fight On State, we once again took that opening hour and loaded it up heavily with guests. But now it's our time. It's 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. What I find interesting is that if you were to take the two major stories of the day, being Sean Payton suspended 1 year, head coach New Orleans Saints, Mickey Loomis, the GM, gets 8 games, Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator, right now, it looks like he is going to be out of the league. And at some point, Peter King of Sports Illustrated, I'm going to get him on the show.
Williams was
his backup first baseman in Little League, by the way. That was. King and I were on the same Little League team together. And then you look at the Tim Tebow story, right? Where a quarterback who's only gone through 2 years. So, again, I preface it with that he's only been in the league 2 years, and this is a hard league for a quarterback to adjust to. That's why it takes time. That's why when Aaron Rodgers finally got his chance to play for Green Bay, he was ready at that moment. Maybe he was ready a year earlier, but it goes back to what Joe Paterno talked about many times. I would rather play a guy one game too late than one game too early. Well, in the NFL, a quarterback, you'd rather play a quarterback 1 year too late than 1 year too early. Aaron Rodgers, look at what he's done. The time he waited, and finally when he got his opportunity, he was absolutely ready to play. So it takes time in the NFL to develop quarterbacks. And Tim Tebow is in still the development stage and can still be a very good NFL quarterback down the road. All right. So I prefaced it with that. Yet he is at this stage where he should be as a backup quarterback in the league, and in a wildcat situation with the Jets, I think it's a perfect situation for him at this stage of his career. At this stage, if this trade does finally go through, they've encountered some hang-up in language right now. But if you put the two stories on the table, Payton suspended, Tebow traded. The more important story, without question, is Payton being suspended.
Absolutely.
The one the fans care about is Tebow being traded.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, okay? In fact, call now. I mean, are we right about this? Right? Well, which one of the two stories for you as a fan is more important to you? The Saints coaches being suspended or, Sean Payton, or Tim Tebow being dealt for a fourth-round pick? Which, as a fan, I want the fans to call in. Okay, let's get this going. I want to hear what they have to say about it. I want to listen and why. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565.
I'm surprised as for the suspension that it was Williams indefinitely. I mean, that's the Pete Rose style suspension from baseball. I mean, that's lifetime.
That one I expected.
I mean, this has been going on for years in the NFL, and this is the time that I guess Goodell has decided to put his foot down and make an example out of the Saints.
Greg Williams, I expected. I was not surprised in the least. I was surprised Sean Payton got a full year. I thought Payton would get 4 games.
Did you think Williams would be suspended indefinitely, or did you think it was going to be a certain amount of games?
No, I thought he'd be suspended indefinitely.
And Loomis got 8 games as the GM. That's pretty harsh.
I thought Peyton was going to get 4 games.
Right.
Right. I mean, you violate the NFL's drug policy, you get 4 games. Right?
I guess that's where bounties are in the grand scheme of things. Which is worse, a bounty or a drug violation?
Now, we know Roger Goodell is tough. He's already proven that over time. He is tough on issues. That's why I figured that Peyton would get 4 games, because 4 games is a suspension for a drug violation in the NFL. This isn't a drug violation, but that 4-game thing, it's negotiated in the players' union contract. But I thought they'd adhere to at least that. He took him out for an entire season. Now, for the fans, what's the bigger story? Sean Payton being suspended for a year or Tim Tebow? And really, there are no wrong answers here. No wrong answers. Dave in Sunbury always has answers. Hello, Dave. Welcome.
Hi, Steve. Sean Payton, because those guys rubbed their nose at the whole front office, you know, the NFL.
Okay. So you vote Sean Payton. So we're going to put 1 vote in the book for Sean Payton.
Yeah, because they had inklings about stuff going on. They told him to knock it off. And they just kept right on the trucking.
That's a very good point, Dave. Very good observation. So you vote Sean Payton. All right, so you say that's the bigger story between that and Tim Tebow being traded.
Yeah, because of all the ramifications between draft picks and things on down the road.
That's very, very good point. All right, Dave, we'll put you down for that. Thanks so much for the call. That gets us started. So that's 1 fan says Sean Payton is the more interesting, bigger story to them. Do you have a differing opinion or the same? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Your best free agent that remained after Peyton Manning has just signed with the 49ers, as you predicted would happen.
And look, you're a 1 win away from the Super Bowl in your home field, and you have a defense that is worth, I mean, a defense in San Francisco is almost priceless. I think Alex Smith has put him in a spot where he is closer to the Super Bowl than Peyton Manning is. How about that?
Oh, here's a new one, too. I just caught this one. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has signed a 3-year deal to the Bengals now.
Well, his career's over.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised Ben Jarvis Green Ellis moved. He moved in college. He was from Indiana to Ole Miss. So
let's see, 410 carries, 1,675 yards, 23 touchdowns.
A good, functional NFL running back. Good, functional NFL running back. Not a star. Doesn't hurt you. Helps you just enough. Bill O'Brien coached him. I know Bill O'Brien liked him a lot. Didn't fumble the ball. Patriots saw no need to go out and get a home run hitting running back.
But he's also not one of those kind of guys that could be the feature running back in a team.
No, he's good. He's a solid, functional running back. I think it's interesting, though, the Patriots, when they made their Super Bowl runs, have had Lawrence Maroney and Corey Dillon. Okay? A little bit higher level than Danny Woodhead. Interesting. So, you realize in the city of Boston, you do understand which franchise has gone the longest without a championship now, right?
I'd have to think about that one.
It's the Patriots.
Really?
Yes. The Bruins won the Stanley Cup last
year. Yeah, Bruins won the
Stanley Cup last year. The Celtics won the championship, the NBA championship in 2008. The Red Sox won the World Series in 2007. The Patriots have not won since 2003.
Wow.
People don't realize it's been that long.
Well, they're always in the playoffs. I think that's why nobody thinks about it.
They also have had a series recently of one and dones until this past year when they made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, they had not won a playoff game since the loss to the Giants in Super Bowl 42.
Let me ask you this question, going back to Tebow a little bit, because you know how much I love Tebow.
I'm shutting it down.
But going to New York, there are few players that could go to New York and handle the scrutiny of the New York media and the fan base there. How does Tebow set being with his personality? How does he handle the New York media? Does he have his problems, the problems that many players have when they've gone to New York?
He'll be a role player there. He won't be a star.
Well, even if he's not a role player that is making a difference, you know, in New York, that's going to get some media time, especially with it being Tebow.
Well, you know what? This is where it becomes interesting. What if Mark Sanchez gets off to a slow start?
You read my mind.
Will there be the calls in New York for Tim Tebow to step up? Because, you know, the Jets do not have a great lineage of quarterbacks. You want to know why they've only been to one Super Bowl ever? Hey, they went to the one Super Bowl ever when they had their greatest quarterback, Joe Namath. I mean, this is the lineage of quarterbacks they've had. Mike Tolliver, Ken O'Brien, Mike Tolliver, Richard Todd, Vinny Testaverde, Mark Sanchez, Kellen Clemens.
Wasn't Neil O'Donnell in there?
Neil O'Donnell.
Boomer
Esiason.
And most of those big names that you're naming were at the end of their careers.
End of their career. They were all done. They were all past their prime at that point. They weren't Johnny Unitas past their prime with the San Diego Chargers. Okay? The one year he played with San Diego at the end. But they were all on the slide down side of their careers.
But he's
between Neil O'Donnell, Boomer, and Vinny Testaverde. Right? That's the lineage of New York Jet quarterbacks. That's one of the reasons why the Jets have not excelled. The Jets never had. I mean, Phil Simms is better than any Jets quarterback since Joe Namath. Eli Manning is better than any Jets quarterback since Joe Namath. And even Jeff Hostetler, when he played, probably was better than most of the quarterbacks they brought in. Right, that's been the issue. So now they have Mark Sanchez, whom they've pinned a lot on. He was with the sixth overall pick of the draft in 2009. They've pinned a lot on him. And sometimes it's been great, sometimes it hasn't. They've been most effective offensively when they could mix in Brad Smith and the Wildcat and give them that change of pace. That's what they're hoping to bring back now with Tim Tebow. And Tebow, like Brad Smith, brings to the table the threat to throw the ball. Penn State's run Wildcat. What made Curtis Drake, for example, effective in the Wildcat? Well, number one, you have to be very good at getting the ball in the shotgun, reading blocks, you know, and especially on a pull, read the block, read the play, and go. But at the same time, what makes you effective is that they're not going to gang up and put 8 and 9 in the box against you as they would when Ronnie Brown ran it with the Miami Dolphins, because Drake has already proven he can throw the football. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 2009 at Michigan State to Andrew Corliss. He threw a pass and completed it to Matt McGloin in the game against Nebraska. So when he goes back into that shotgun spot as the Wildcat, you don't sit there and say to yourself, well, it's going to be a run. In all likelihood, it might be, but the threat is still there where people have to hold because he can throw the ball and has proven he can throw it and make a play. Derek Williams was effective in it because he could also throw the ball as a former high school quarterback. He made a 25-yard completion to Mickey Schuler in a 2008 game at Iowa out of the Wildcat spot. So when you put somebody in the Wildcat spot like Tebow's going to be in with the Jets, because he brings the threat to throw the ball out of it, he'll actually have more wide open spaces to work in the Wildcat compared to some other teams. Last year, the Jets tried to run it with LaDainian Tomlinson. He brought no threat at all to throw the ball.
You just sell out. You didn't have to worry about covering anybody.
Right. That's what I mean. You sell out. You do have to cover. All right. You do have to cover, but you don't have to go into anything except the base. to cover the guy. Your linebackers aren't sitting there wondering, gee, I wonder if they're going to, you know, swing somebody out and I have to cover them. They're all geared up. They're all playing downhill on defense. And Tebow will bring that to the table. Thus, for the Jets, I think that's a great move for the Jets to get him if the trade finally does work out. So far the votes are in favor of the Sean Payton story being bigger than Tim Tebow. What do you think? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
At Northumberland National Bank, the customer always comes first.
What's in your kitchen? A large island, clean contemporary lines, wide open spaces, and stainless steel appliances? A nice kitchen can be yours with a home equity loan from the Northumberland National Bank. Get a fixed-term loan based on the equity in your home. You can borrow up to 80% of your home's value and pay no bank fees. A rate discount may apply when you agree to automatic payments from your NORI deposit account. You'll be cooking like a rock star with your new home equity loan from the Northumberland National Bank. Calculate your payment at noribank.com.
At Northumberland National Bank, the customer always comes first.
Call or come by the Northumberland National Bank on Front Street, Northumberland, on 4th Street, Sunbury, Lorry Lane and Hummel's Wharf, Port Treverton and Middleburg.
The customer always comes first.
Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
I'm here at Walmart with Sarah. Now, Sarah, where do you normally shop for a simple project like repainting a room?
You know, the big home improvement stores.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Walmart has the stuff you're looking for?
I don't know.
Let's go. Come on. Walk with me.
Okay.
Boom.
Oh, great.
What do you see?
I see everything I would need.
I'm seeing Glidden 2-in-1 Paint Plus Primer, mm-hmm. 3M Painter's Tape,
ooh.
Sureline Paint Tray Kits.
That's exciting.
And low prices on all of it, too.
This is great.
Okay, that's Projects Made Simple, Painting an Accent Wall. See for yourself at Walmart right now. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Here's a call out to the purists, guys who would never put soy bacon on a BLT, guys who only get groomed when yanking out an ear hair, guys who choose Purolator Pure One oil filters. They're 99.9% efficient, the most efficient filter, trapping microns of dirt others can't to protect your engine. And they're 100% covered in textured grip for easy installation. Purolator Pure One. Keep it pure. Find special offers and a retailer near you at PurolatorAutoFilters.net.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Kevin Hearn is glory because so much NFL talk at this time of the year.
Love football season, and it never seems to end.
Wow, you put a Tebow picture on the website.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tebow and Sanchez.
Tebow, Sanchez together, and looks like you in the background.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
About that.
That's exactly what it was.
Very impressive. And look, Frank Trepuka's jersey, they put Manning on the back. All right.
That was nice of him to allow his jersey to be used again.
Yeah. They called him up. They said, you don't have a choice. Make it seem classy.
Hey, we're going to take your jersey out of retirement. I hope you don't mind. Say sure. Okay.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. All right. Let's see. I'm surprised you don't have a Tebow question on here.
No, I had that on yesterday. Where would Tebow go?
No, I'm shocked. I mean, you know, it's but see, what that's one thing that I have found out in doing this is that Tebow is a magnet for people because he has emotionally involved people. And that's remarkable to do something like that in such a short period of time in your career. People, I mean, he legitimately has loyal, loyal fans. And it's across the country.
He's a likable guy.
Don in Mifflinburg. Hi, Don. Thanks for joining the show. It's great to have you with us at 1-800-795-9565.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking the call. I'm curious in regard to whether you're interested in switching topics into the NCAA women's bracket.
Sure, let's go to it, Don.
Okay. The calls in regard to how they select the places to play the games. I noticed last evening Penn State played LSU, with Penn State having a 4 ranking, but they played on LSU's floor and they had a 5 ranking. At the same time, or at about the same time, Duke was playing Vanderbilt, and Duke had a 2 rank, and Vanderbilt had a 7, yet they were on Vanderbilt's court. Seems to me, some concern on my part, certainly, in regard to the fact that the lower seeds ought to have somewhat of an advantage, but apparently in the women's brackets they do not. Is this traditionally so? Are they doing it for getting people into the seats? It would seem Penn State would draw, and certainly Duke would draw at home. Give me some thoughts, if you would.
First of all, you're right on both parts. It is being done because they need to put people in the seats, and these bids, Don, are handed out 2 years in advance. If you notice last year, Penn State hosted the first 2 rounds of the tournament here, and it turned out that as a 6th seed, Penn State lost to 3rd seeded DePaul in the 2nd round. So mm-hmm. Penn State actually hosted last year. It just turned out LSU hosted this year, and this is being done to put more people in the seats because they know on a purely neutral court, they're going to struggle with that in the opening 2 rounds. And we saw that here at Penn State, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. Penn State was not in the tournament at all and had won the bid to host the first 2 rounds. They sent UConn here. And they still did draw that well here, even though they had 4 completely neutral teams here because Penn State didn't make the tournament that year. But that's the reason it's being done, because they're concerned about empty seats.
And they do the same with women's volleyball, obviously, too.
Yes. And they try to do that as often as possible because that's what they're looking for. Now, the men did this up until the early 80s, where home courts were used. But now you get to the regional sites, and it's allegedly neutral. But remember, for the most part, in women's basketball, they take a protractor down in stores, and they extend the line out 50 miles. And if Gina Auriemma goes past the 50-mile radius, he's wearing a shock collar like an invisible fence and gets zapped.
Okay.
Don, thanks so much. It's great to hear from you. News is next on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Once again, we continue on Tebow Watch. Tebow time is 4:36.
That's good. Tebow time, 4:36. Like that.
As we continue on, we are awaiting white smoke from the Jets. to see if it's actually official that he's in. There's been a snag in the trade. They found out that Tebow was owed $5.6 billion by the Broncos. That made
them
a little
billion.
Hesitant.
It's not billion. It's only a million. It's not a
with
billion.
With most of it going to charity. It's a tax write-off. Do something, all right?
Yeah, right now it's not white smoke. It's not black smoke. It's kind of gray.
No, there's none. So you sit out there and you wait. You watch. And finally, out of nowhere, who?
I'll be looking for the smoke coming from the chateau.
Are you going to burn it down? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I think we've prepped everybody for the NCAA tournament as well as we possibly can the last few days with the guests that we've had on. But now it's open line time all the way home. Had a couple callers last hour. Talked about Sean Payton being suspended for a year and also about Tim Tebow and the trade to the Jets that is still in process of happening. And also we talked about a little women's basketball, about the fact that Lady Lions had to play in a home court last night to get to the Sweet 16, which the Lady Lions did. They won 90-80. Now they get UConn on a neutral court. I'm sorry. On a neutral court in Kingston, Rhode Island. All right, so I had some people here coming to me. He says, we're going to take so many buses. I said, where are you going to put them? So what are you talking about? I said, you know the arena only seats 7,500. They all looked at me like, you're kidding me. I said, do you do any research? All right. I don't understand.
Still 7,500. I can't believe that.
I can't put my arms around that. First of all, if the University of Rhode Island wants to host, that's great. But you have the Dunkin' Donuts Center, the old Providence Civic Center, which seats 13,000. It's a regional. Now, in the first two rounds, I can understand in the first two rounds, 7,500 is actually a perfect size for the opening two rounds of the tournament. Perfect size. You know, at LSU, they only drew 4,000 last night. It wasn't exactly an overwhelming response to having the game there with the Sweet 16 berth line. I think they drew almost 5,000 on opening night. They only drew about 4,000 last night, actual bodies and seats. You know, that meant there were 9,000 people in the building cleverly disguised as empty seats last night. Now, they'll get to this. It's a regional. A little more juice in a regional. I'm just surprised. The Ryan Center is a far newer building than the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence. Far newer. Okay? It's a beautiful place. And Kingston's a beautiful town. I'm just saying for a regional, I'm surprised a 7,500-seat building is being used as opposed to a 13,000-seat building.
Well, maybe they took the view like they did when they built PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Let's build a state. Let's have it somewhere where it looks like it's sold out no matter what. I mean, at PNC Park, my aunt lived out in Pittsburgh, and I said, why would you build a park with only that many seats? And her answer was, have you been to a Pirates game lately? This way we can at least have a sellout.
Right, but I can understand that, except you have UConn that would have been in that Providence regional. And UConn draws.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's my point. That's why, again, I have done many games at the University of Rhode Island in my career. Many games. Okay? Done 10 of them in my career there. Love the campus, love the town, love the section of the state. It was an older building at the time when I was there. It was Keeney Gym. But still, I always thought it was a great place to go. The Ryan Center is brand new, built within the last 10 years. A beautiful facility. It really is. For a facility that size, it's first class. I'm just saying on the regional level in women's basketball, when you are trying to advance the sport forward, I'm not sure putting it at a 7,500-seat venue in rounds 3 and 4, Sweet 16, Elite 8, is advancing the sport forward. Just a thought.
Go ahead.
I apologize for veering away from Tebow talk. Tebow time is 4:40.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I'm going to veer away from it myself because we have an email from our inbox, stevejones@wkok.com. And the question is regarding baseball. And it goes to middle infielders for the Philadelphia Phillies. Who's left?
Nobody.
I guess that would be the question. Who's left?
Nobody.
Who can they get? Where do they go?
They have big issues. Martinez is out. I mean, he's out. Utley is out, but you know what? Utley's production has, you look at Utley's production.
Actually, I did some homework on that.
Since 2007, his production's gone down every year.
He was 309 in 06, 332 in 07, 292, yeah. 282, 275, and 259. And as well, he's played less games.
Fewer games every year. Yep, fewer games every year. Now, last year, we all know about the injury. What did he play, 100, 203 games
103.
Last year?
103.
Yeah. So you have to worry about that. Now, they have big concerns now. I mean, Freddie Galvis will be able, there's no question. I can tell you right now, I've watched Freddie Galvis play a lot in the minor leagues. I can tell you Freddie Galvis has the glove to be an effective everyday second baseman. He'll turn the double play. I know it's a position switch from shortstop to second base. I know it's a different angle for him. It's a different turn on the pivot for double plays. I understand all that. But there are certain things that are natural to you. Freddie Galvis is a natural fielder. He's natural. Has great range. He'll turn the double play. Has a good arm. Can be acrobatic at times. The question will be is, number one, he will hit with nowhere near the power of Chase Utley. Not even close. But can he even hit for an average? That's the issue.
Well, let's see. You've got Howard that's injured right now. Martinez just getting injured.
Yeah, but you knew about the Howard thing back in late October. Right. So that's not a curveball to the organization.
Right, but then you have Utley. And then you have Rollins, who has gotten to the point of his career where he gets injured. Polanco is going to get injured somewhere along the line. You know that. That leaves you basically with infielders, as you said, Freddie Galvis, Jim Thomey, and Ty Whittington.
All right. Whittington is a functional utility player. He's a functional major league level utility player. Every team needs one. That's why the Red Sox, for example, went out and got Nick Punto. It would have really behooved the Phillies to get Nick Punto.
I think here's the other thing that Phillies fans have to be a little concerned about. When you throw Howard at first base, and then you have Polanco, Rollins, and Utley, the average age of their infielder is 34 and a half. When you throw in Jim Thomey, who reportedly may be the starting first baseman on opening day at 41, it bumps you up into the 37 or 36s.
That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me at all, because you do know what you have, and if you feel confident in what you're developing on your minor league level, and I'll tell you this, the Phillies have invested a lot, it seems like at Williamsport every year through the draft, they have a power-hitting first baseman. Okay? So they're looking at that, and I've also looked at what they've done with, like, Cesar Hernandez and so forth, and a kid I've talked to you about named Jeremy Barnes.
Right.
Now, Barnes is not, I'm hoping Barnes can somehow get to the double-A level this year. But Barnes is decent range at shortstop, but he also gives you gap power down the road. He had 20 home runs his senior year at Notre Dame. And he is a player I liked very much. He was a 2009 New York Penn League All-Star. State College hosted the New York Penn League All-Star game that year, so I hosted the event and did the play-by-play of the game. And liked him very much. So I probably saw Barnes play 14, 15 times that year. Liked him very much. Now, it's all a question of development and adjustment, but I think there's a guy that can work his way through the system, and eventually I think he has a shot once he gets to double A, which is the make or break level. Double A is the make or break level in the minor leagues. That's where you find out whether you have it or not. And I think Barnes will get to that level and get his shot.
Sad part was Martinez was having a pretty good spring.
Yes,
he was hitting Martinez 323, a couple
very
of doubles.
Yep, very good spring.
Now it looks like Galvis is going to be the starting second baseman, as you mentioned, especially if Martinez isn't healthy to start the season, which would move, puts basically Galvis, as you said, moving to second base instead of shortstop. I mean, how much, from a player standpoint, at this point in spring training, how difficult is that move going to be?
Well, in the minor leagues, there are points along the line where he played some second base. And you try to develop some versatility in some of your middle infielders with the idea that, you want to flip-flop them. For example, you look at Chase Darnot with the Pirates. He played both short and third in the Pirate organization. He played both short and third here in State College. They did the same thing with Jordy Mercer, who is now with the AAA Indianapolis. So I've watched Alan Craig, who caught the ball for the final out for the Cardinals in the World Series. He came into State College as a shortstop. They moved him to third base and eventually in the outfield. So he played all three positions here. You know, so they do that from time to time in the minor leagues so that if something comes up, they want the door open. You know, and as a player, you want to do that. You're trying to make your way to the major leagues and be as valuable as you can on the major league level. And you get there at times with the ability to say, look, I can play both spots. Because Freddie Galvis can play second base, the door is now open for him to be on the opening day roster and be the starter. If it was just like pigeonhole shortstop, 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 doesn't play over there, he would not be there. He'd be backing up Jimmy Rollins and probably starting out the year at AAA.
And the Phillies must feel pretty confident about him because right now they're projecting him as the starter on opening day, and they're reportedly not looking at any seasoned veterans right now to go out and fill the holes with they have with injuries at this point.
Well, as I told you, I like him. I mean, I've watched him play many times, and I think he will not give you the pop in the bat, right? So let's all establish that right away. Freddie Galvis will not give you the pop in the bat, right? But he's a guy that can spray the ball, okay? And he is very good and slick with the glove. Very good, very slick with the glove. Now, again, it's a different angle for him, all right? Completely different angle. The turn at second base is going to be different. I mean, he hit 8 home runs with Redding. I think it was last year he hit 8 home runs before they moved up to Lehigh Valley. So, I mean, he's not going to give you that kind of play. He's not going to drive in a lot of runs. Never drove in more than 48 runs in the minor leagues. But as a fielder, he's fabulous. You need a guy to move a runner over, he'll move a runner over.
They must have some speed, Guy. He had a triple the other day, too.
No, he has some speed. Oh, there's no question he has some speed. I mean, this, you know, he's been in double digits in stolen bases in the minor leagues in each of the last 3 years. And when I mean, I'm talking like 15 or better. I mean, he's been 15 or better in stolen bases in each of his last 3 years. And again, he's a player I like. I think he brings a lot to the table, and he has an outstanding glove. But he's not going to give you a lot of pop in the bat. But he will find the gap, and I'll tell you right now, he's the kind of guy, you give him a full-time shot there, he would hit more than 30 doubles for you.
As a Phillies fan, though, you have to be hoping that the starters can go deep into games, keep the scores low so you don't have to score a whole lot of runs, and then you bring in Papelbon because you paid so much for him to close, and he better be good at it. You know, he better not have a bad year.
Well, he better be, because if Papelbon pitches for the Phillies like he pitched in 2011 for the Red Sox, then you're going to have something really good. Because until the Baltimore game, when things imploded on the last day of the season, Papelbon had given up just one run in 25 appearances. And I think he had only given up 8 hits and had only walked, I think, 3 in those 25 appearances. That's how well he pitched, right? Do you get that, or do you get the Jonathan Papelbon of a couple of years ago? If you do, you have an issue, right? Because the Jonathan Papelbon of a couple of years ago struggled with runners on base left and right. And then last year was outstanding. We'll come back, close it out after this on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Check your paper for Kohl's annual spring open house flyer and get great savings while supplies last. Cut out the coupon for your free Kohl's reusable shopping bag and get 20% off anything you can fit in the bag.
Get the 18-volt cordless electric WG gas trimmer and precision edger, $119.99 everywhere else, now just $69.99 at Kohl's.
Time to fill the deck with a Fisher Island 32-inch table and 4 stacking chairs. 5 pieces are just $99.
Just when you thought prices couldn't get any better, they get dirt cheap. Like Scott's Topsoil, 75-cubic-foot bag, just $0.99 a bag, limit 6 bags.
Did you sign up for your special offers yet at KohlsHardware.com? Enjoy special offers just for signing up. Be a friend and like us on Facebook.
Now, Kohl's Hardware is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Sign up at KohlsHardware.com.
Come on home, your hardware store. Come on home to Kohl's. If you have filed your income tax and you're waiting for it to hit your bank account, get down to Front Street Motors at the Wall in Sunbury, because we're going to match your refund up to $3,000 on your next car, truck, van, or SUV. If you don't have any money coming back, we're going to give you $500 down. If you have damaged credit, we're going to get you financed. The last vouchers went out in the mail. If you didn't get one, come down to Front Street Motors. We have extra here. Saturday at 3 o'clock, this program is going to be officially over. And don't forget about our service. We got Butch Buck, Jimmy Sikorski, and the crew. Stop by. No appointment necessary. Or call 286-9718.
And don't forget, this Saturday, folks, income tax matching ends. You got to get into Front Street Motors this Saturday by 3 o'clock. Front Street Motors at the Wall, Sunbury.
It's a feeling you get when everything's just right. At Front Street Motors.
Hi, this is Duska Rischel with the Bowen Agency Realtors in Lewisburg. My full-time real estate career has awarded me with loyal clients throughout the Central Susquehanna Valley. And with interest rates still at record levels, there has never been a better opportunity to be participating in today's market. Whether it's your first or forever home, let me make your dreams a reality.
Bowen Agency Realtors in Sewens Grove, Lewisburg, and Sunbury. On the web at bowenagency.com. Coming or going, see a realtor at Bowen.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
The Union County Library System, partnering with the Union Snyder Agency on Aging, Inc., Evangelical Community Hospital, Geisinger Health System, and the Penn State Extension will be hosting the 2012 Libraries for Health Expo from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 31st at the Public Library for Union County. There will be something for the entire family. For more information, visit Union County Library System.
Yeah, Jonathan Papelbon will be unquestionably one of the critical keys of the season for the Phillies. He was brought in for a reason. I mean, here's a guy who had never given up a postseason earned run. Had never given up a postseason earned run until he blew that playoff game against the Angels in 2009. Had never. I mean, in 2007, he popped through there. He pitched seven games in the postseason, gave up zilch. He only gave up five hits and 10 2/3. I mean, so on the biggest stage, and he saved three games in the World Series. So on the biggest stage, he's been there. Now the question is, do you get the Jonathan Papelbon of 2010, who really struggled? He lost seven games that year. He blew nine saves that year. And he walked too many batters. He took his walks and he cut his walks by 2/3 last year. By 2/3, he cut his walks. And that's what he needs to do. Sometimes he has a tendency to nibble a little bit. Last year, he didn't nibble as much down the stretch, and he really, the last 25 games, until the Baltimore game, he was unbelievably silly good. They're going to need him to be that way. And I think for Philly fans, a big plus was yesterday when Doc Holliday went out and Doc pitched six, gave up just the three hits, the one run, struck out five, didn't walk a batter. And I think that had to be encouraging to everybody.
Yeah, those starters are going to have to go deep into games.
I guess. I mean, the key in baseball now is your middle relief has to be good, because a lot of people, like, why have the Yankees and Red Sox been so good in the past decade? Because they knock starting pitchers out of games because they foul off so many pitches. They foul off so many pitches that they ratchet up pitch counts. They have such good eyes at the plate. You know, Youkilis fouls off one pitch after another. Jeter fouls off one pitch after another. And all this is doing is ramping up the pitch count, where suddenly you look in the fifth inning, you have 102 pitches. And then you make hay by getting to the middle relief, because that's the bridge to somehow get to Rivera, or the bridge to get to, for the Red Sox, what used to be Papelbon. That'll be one of the keys with the Phillies. I mean, yeah, they'll go deep into games. You know, Hamels will give you a great start. Lee will give you a great start. Halliday will be a great start. But along the line, even they're not infallible. There are going to be days where they're going to need their bullpen in the middle relief to come through, and that is a swing area for most teams.
I'm not sure who the bridge is right now.
Well, that's what spring training's about. They're trying to find that out.
I'm not sure who the bridge is to Papelbon at this point.
Now, we're going to have somebody on from the PIAA tomorrow, by the way. And it's going to be Dr. Robert Lombardi, who's the associate executive director of the PIAA. We'll have an interview with him tomorrow. PIAA basketball championships, boys and girls, here at the Bryce Jordan Center this weekend. So we'll have that for you tomorrow.
By the way, another great job by Bucknell University at Kinney Nanatorium of hosting the swimming and diving championships over the weekend.
I want to tell you right now, that is a phenomenal pool. That, I mean, the second they told me that that thing was adjustable, I said, you're kidding me, right?
How do you do that? It's, I had to ask how that was done.
You hit a button and it, you know, expands out. And, you know, if it goes out further, guess what? You have to put more water in. All right. So, I mean, it's really.
I had to have that explained to me. I wasn't quite sure about how that worked. But
Tebow time is 4:57.
And that's still not a done deal yet.
Come on.
Just want to let you know. All right, here.
Look, again, I want everybody to understand. I think that you can't make a judgment on Tim Tebow as his effectiveness as a quarterback until it gets to maybe the end of his fifth year. And I think then you can start making some conclusions at the end of the fifth year in the league as to where he is. For the Denver Broncos, I don't think the meeting took long for them to sit down at the conference table with Pat Bowlen and John Elway. And they said, who can get us to the Super Bowl faster, Peyton Manning or Tim Tebow? The meeting took 17 seconds, and that included them bringing the coffee in.
Right? The Bengals never made it.
But it's an easy answer, though. Right? It's not a difficult deal. Now, are they, as one caller pointed out yesterday, they'll hold the breath every time he's hit. You're darn right they will. Four neck surgeries, they are rolling the dice. It's a gamble. Now, if I'm sitting in that position, is it a gamble I take? Yes. Okay? Yes.
Before we wrap things up for the day, when you go to stevejonesshow.com to listen to the podcast, make sure you click on the poll. Is your final four still intact in the bracket? Do you still have your final four yet?
Two out of four left. You have all four left.
I have all four left. And my question to you, if there was a screw and a cast in Kendall Marshall's wrist, how in the world is he going to be effective by Friday?
They're taking the cast off.
Cast is off as of this morning. He tweeted that, cast off.
The reason they did the surgery on Monday, as I pointed out in the show Monday, is they inserted that screw because it gave him the best chance of playing on Friday. How effective can he be? Who knows? Because if you look at North Carolina basketball, when he took over full-time as the starting point guard in the middle of last season, they became a far better basketball team. He's pivotal to what they want to do. It's amazing, though. We still have, I know you're still in a state of shock that there are 3-1-4 matchups.
I don't know. I still have my Final Four. That's all I'm worried about.
I know you are. And again, as we talked about yesterday, and I talked to enough people, Shaka Smart is not interested in the Illinois job. For the NFL Network, it has been an incredible day. Sean Payton suspended for the year. Mickey Loomis, 8 games. Plus RG3 worked out live on the NFL Network, and Tebow. Needless to say, Roger Goodell jumping up and down. NFL Network ratings are huge, just like this show. We'll see you tomorrow.